Hello and welcome to episode 253 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by one other M and a very special guest. M, let's go around the cooler and tell the listener who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Did I just say listener?
Yeah, one. We have one with
them. I'm going to leave it in. There we go. Joey, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. And a special guest, which I guess I should probably stop calling you special guest because you're a full-fledged member of this podcast almost. Jalal, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jalal, and you can find me on Twitter at FaceLittleHomo.
Which I every time I post an article, man, I laugh and laugh and laugh. But just it's always some bizarre title like, what does Faze Little Homo think about Schitt's Creek's Emmy shits? There's no way that's not funny. Anyway, good job. All right. So we're all kind of punch drunk and tired from last night's, from the weekends, really. I mean, you know, this kind of started for all of us the weekend before last through the Creative Arts. You guys covered the Creative Arts both the Saturday and Sunday night. And then, of course, we were all on last night for the primetime Emmy Awards, the main ceremony, the 71st annual Primetime Emmy Awards, the big show, the reveal of all of the drama, comedy, limited series, and variety races, the main categories that we've all been anxiously and breathlessly anticipating. And I would say that the winners didn't disappoint. We can talk about the show, but the winners themselves didn't disappoint. They were full of surprises and actually really good surprises, I think. But we'll get into that in a minute because Joey and Jalal and I are all here to unpack the winners, talk about the ceremony, and talk about sort of, you know, what kind of changes in the Television Academy kind of have precipitated the winners that we're seeing, the I would argue, unexpected winners. Now, I know some people have predicted them, but, you know, they are not the same winners you would see in the Television Academy maybe five, even as soon as 5 years ago, perhaps longer as 10. But we'll talk about all of that on this podcast. And of course, we'll close our podcast, as always, with a flash forward to the media that we're most anticipating the upcoming week. So I'm sure you guys have tons of things to say. Joey, I even saw a tweet that said you had a lot to unpack over this podcast. So let's jump right to it.
Well, it was like halfway through the show and I was like, oh my God, like, we all knew, like, every single podcast that I listened to about the predictions, I was like, what a crazy year. Anything could happen. And I feel like by, you know, 40 minutes into the show, I was like, what? Everyone is going to lose their goddamn mind.
Yes. I think we had some readers that lost their goddamn mind.
Good.
But anyway, enough of that. So let's start with the one that I think, Joey, you were the most happy about, that the fact that in the comedy races, it was not a coronation of Veep in its final season. It was not a continuation of the praise heaped on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, although I do want to talk about that. But it is a recognition, a coronation of the new Emmy queen, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and Fleabag. So I know you must have been beside yourself last night. I just wish I'd been in the same room just to watch your reaction every time she won.
Like, to the point where my husband, who knows how much I love the show, like, when she won Best Actress in a Comedy, I screamed, like, full-throated, screamed in my living room. I had printed out the ballot of all the awards, the ADTV team's predictions, and, like, a pen. They flew out of my hand. It was kind of insane. And then I got really mad at myself because Megan is the only person who predicted Fleabag and Chernobyl. I was really mad that I did not listen to my gut about Fleabag and comedy series. Yeah, it was a very, very surprising thing. And I also think it's really surprising that Megan predicted it, and Megan was the most reluctant to predict it for nominations, and then she was the only one to predict it for it to win, and she got it right. So yeah, I was very thrilled at the comedy side the most competitive and probably head scratching of a lot of predictions for people that like us who do this. And I actually have a question that we can probably pose later about Mrs. Maisel and Fleabag in terms of our predictions, but I guess we can get into that when we get into the Maisel section.
Actually, we can jump in it right now. That's totally fine. Let's talk about that. So Mrs. Maisel was arguably the favorite going in. I know a lot of people had a lot of experts had Veep. I think if you go to Metacritic, like over 50% of the experts polled indicated that Veep would win. I think we all had settled on Maisel. And, you know, based on, in my opinion, you know, the strength of the creative arts, it won a lot more this year than it won last year. And then all those acting wins. And then it continued to win Emmys in the both supporting categories. What happened? Was it the missing writers nomination there? Was that a sign?
No. I think... Well,
my question that I wanted to sort of pose to... Because I know... Jalal and I think Jalal mentioned it on the podcast, and I was certainly thinking about it as we were doing the creative arts, like, Mike, because Jalal, correct me if I'm wrong, is it how many years has it been since, like, you know, when casting wins comedy? Like, was there a rule change recently about casting?
It wasn't a rule change, but it was ever since voting opened up. So since they got rid of the blue ribbon panels and it became like the entire peer group could vote. Okay, casting has lined up. And sometime in the semi-recent years, casting directors are now able to vote in the acting categories. So that's, I think, what, like last year we saw The Crown win casting and then Claire Foy won and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe now I'm never going to go against casting ever again.
But when they see us, I mean, we'll get to limited series in a little bit, but when they see us won casting, it did not, and Chernobyl did not win. I mean, Chernobyl won limited series. So there's a difference there.
That's true. Okay. Maybe I'll only do casting for comedy series. Maybe that's the only one that I can think of. I was a little surprised that, it won, I think, the same amount of Emmys between the creative arts and the main telecast for both ceremonies. Like, it won 8 last year. It won, I think, 3 at the Creative Arts and 5 on the main telecast. And then this year it won, like, it sort of flipped. It won 6 at the Creative Arts and 2 last night. So, but this year they obviously got more nominations. So I'm not sure what that means.
And they, like, remember last week, at the Creative Arts, it also beat Game of Thrones for cinematography. It beat Fosse for costume. So it's clearly, voters still love it. But I think what we're seeing is, and I predicted Mrs. Maisel, but in the back of my mind, I was kind of nervous. And in my head, I was comparing it to that second season of Handmaid's Tale, which Handmaid's Tale won. Obviously, its first season swept almost every major award. Then for the second season, it had a pretty good night at the Creative Arts Ceremony, won a couple of awards, including Samira Wiley, and then went home empty-handed at the Primetime Awards. And I think, my theory is that, and people still clearly like Handmaid's Tale because it, for a couple episodes, it got a million nominations this year. But I think with this new voting system, we're seeing mostly winners for first season shows and final season shows. And I think people realize that Mrs. Maisel will be around for a while and there's not as much momentum and they can come back to it later. As opposed to Fleabag, which I think had this huge advantage because it was not nominated for its first season. Most voters probably didn't know it existed. Then it comes back. People are just discovering it now. So it has the power of a first season show. It's the first time voters could support it. And in the back of their heads, they knew it was the last time they could vote for it. So they had to get it out of the way this year. So I think it was just kind of like the year for it.
Yeah, I sort of felt like, because I was starting to prep my, the yearly piece that I have about Golden Globes wanting to award an ingenue in the comedy actress category. And I feel like, even though it's the second season, Phoebe Waller-Bridge can still sort of feel like that almost. Because the first season was not, you know, as big as this one obviously was. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they do embrace it this year, despite it being sort of, they generally don't like the Golden Globes. I mean, generally don't like to do things that are sort of Emmy leftovers. They like to be, you know, find the new hotness and all that stuff. But I don't know that there's anything that qualifies for that this year, at least in that race.
Possibly Kirsten Dunst, what that said.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing, the person that I interviewed for Emmy Confidential, and this really applied at the time more to the limited series races, but wondered, you know, this person loved When They See Us, but was very nervous about it competing against Chernobyl because there are so many British members of the Television Academy now. And, you know, I'm wondering if Fleabag benefited from that, if there's, you know, like almost like block voting for the British contingent.
Yeah, actually, in my piece, I do a section on the British vote. And I talk about how in the past, there's now over 25,000 members of the Television Academy, and a lot of them are from recent years, a huge influx of younger voters, more diverse voters, voters from New York, voters from the UK. No one really knows those numbers. But and then we saw tonight, last night, Fleabag swept, Jodie Comer won, Ben Whishaw won, Jesse Armstrong won for writing Succession, John Oliver and Black Mirror won again. But also, the Television Academy has always been kind of Anglophiles. If we remember, was it 10 years ago? The Hour surprised everyone for writing. Sherlock has pulled off plenty of upsets.
Yeah.
Oh, every time, like, I think to be the normal heart in every major race. That first year that Downton Abbey was at the Emmys, it was not the front runner to win anything, except for Maggie Smith, but then it kind of won a bunch of awards. And then just last year, The Crown won 3 big awards. So it's just kind of, it could be those new voters, or it could just be that it comes with like a prestige factor.
Mm. Well, whatever it made for a very compelling night in terms of unexpected wins. I mean, you know, I thought for sure we knew that she was going to win writing. But when Fleabag won for direction, I was like, okay, it's done. It's winning comedy. Like,
yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I was so excited when that happened because I had thought, like, even just going into the nominations, that Fleabag was going to do well. I wasn't sure that it would get a directing nomination because it's so, like, writerly almost, because she's the face of the show and she writes the damn thing. So I was delighted at the nomination for direction, and that first episode is very well directed. So, that was a great win, I think, but I thought the same thing. I was like, well, fuck. Bye, Mrs. Maisel. I was just like, all right.
I mean, some of those wins could probably be chalked up to vote splitting.
Yeah.
Like, directing, I think, cause it was up against 2 Maisel episodes and 2 Barry episodes.
Right.
And so it was the only plausible thing. And then in picture editing, which it won, because it won the trifecta of the main 5. But picture editing, it was also up against 2 Barry and 2 Maisel. But then also, it couldn't overcome vote splitting for Olivia Colman. So it was, they were all over the place.
Yeah, that's the maddening thing about vote splitting. I always want to avoid it, or to avoid predicting things where, you know, people are competing against each other. Because clearly vote splitting impacted, and of course this is drama series, but it impacted the Game of Thrones supporting actress contingent.
And the directors,
Yeah, and the directors. But it didn't impact supporting actor. And it didn't impact Killing Eve. So I don't know where the line is drawn anymore. I don't know when you can say vote splitting is maybe it's in the technical bits, maybe it's in directing, maybe people just gravitate enough to a particular performance to, I don't know. It's that's just the piece I just really don't have any great insight into. What else happened with
Con? Do we have to talk about the
Oh, God, Veep. Why did I laugh?
Veep went home empty-handed.
I do think it's kind of, was it you, Jalal, who was like, we were robbed of like a Julia Louis-Dreyfus reaction?
I was just kind of surprised they didn't cut to her.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. It, you know, it wasn't going to win Best Comedy, but I don't know.
I thought they would have, you know, honored the show with that win, a win that everybody probably assumed, or a lot of people assumed. I did actually see a surprising number of people on Twitter who said sort of the same thing, that were like, she deserved that. Like, she deserves it for her legendary work on the show. I was like, bitch, she has six, so calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, go away.
And it's hard because that category is filled with five people who deserved it. You know, like, yeah. It wasn't... And this is the first year that that show, I would argue, has had strong competition. And it had strong competition from multiple shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it was kind of a year where Beef used to benefit from being the freshest voice in the category for so long, especially compared to Modern Family. But now, it's not the same thing.
That's probably... That probably has a lot to do with it. I'm very anxiously anticipating what she does next. I would like to see her...
She takes, like, 6 years off.
Yeah, she probably needs to, but I would like to see her do something different than, you know, no more Selena Meyer. No more... I mean, she's great in it. She was great in the role. I mean, I probably would have voted for her myself had I been in the Television Academy, but, you know, she needs to take a break from that... That type of performance or that type of role.
I mean, if you like, sort of just like what Jalal was saying, like, it hasn't had to literally Veep never competed against any of these things before, because it wasn't in there last year with Barry and Maisel, and then everything else in the category was new. So,
do you think it's the break, Jalal? I think maybe you mentioned that during our chat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but it lost some sort of momentum, because even when it premiered, there wasn't as much as
it was quiet.
As there should have been. Yeah.
But of course, that couldn't be avoided, so.
Yeah, of course.
And also, Fleabag is a special case, but before this year, they're not as sentimental about final seasons. It's been... I wrote this in a piece a couple weeks ago, and I forgot. I think it's been since Everybody Loves Raymond won that a comedy has won for its last season.
Oh, wow.
30 Rock couldn't do it. Modern Family won't do it. They didn't care about Big Bang Theory.
Modern Family.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what other comedies, but yeah. Sex and the City, I think, was fully abandoned by that point.
Frasier didn't do it.
Yeah, Friends didn't do it.
Will and Grace didn't do it.
So,
well, it's because
just Everybody Loves Raymond.
Well, and yeah, that's the outlier there. But usually American television just drags their shows into the ground like four seasons beyond what they should have closed on. So that's probably why you don't see many final season winners, because they're just done with it. Like Modern Family. I mean, you know, nobody's talking about that show right now.
I guess we can confirm that it's not going to be anywhere next year besides maybe Ty Burrell.
That's true. I thought of that earlier today. I was like, ooh, final season, like Big Bang Theory only got like what, directing and like one other thing, and that's the most popular show in America. And I feel like there's a collective thing with Modern Family. It's like, just go away. Just go away, just stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Plus, the kids are getting old and pregnant.
What's her face having a baby in the premiere? I just saw that commercial. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Lily.
Oh, Lily's having a baby?
No.
What?
No, it's Sarah. Sarah Hyland.
I actually also am a little bit uncomfortable by how attractive I think Luke is now. Like, I don't want to emotionally face that.
Enough is enough, Shelley.
I'm just saying.
All right, anything else on the comedy races?
Yes. Nope. No more Fleabag. I don't want a season three.
Should we talk about limited series?
Sure.
So When They See Us did not take home, I think this is the big story of the night. When They See Us really didn't. That only took home Jorel Jerome, which I would argue is, I mean, it's probably because there isn't much competition in that category. Although he was great. I'm not belittling his performance at all, but, you know, there was no competition there, right?
I mean, I was getting a little nervous leading up to that award because it had lost everything else. It was the last acting award of the night. I was getting really worried that, like, you know, the people who loved Jared Harris over the years were going to push him into a win, and I was, if that would have happened, I would have died.
Or Hugh Grant.
Or Hugh, oh God.
But it was Jerome Jerome for a very, very well-deserved Emmy. But Chernobyl took it home, and you know, I think going into it with When They See Us winning casting at the Creative Arts, and the whole argument over emotion versus the, you know, the heart versus the head in terms of When They See Us versus Chernobyl. I mean, when Ava DuVernay didn't win, man, my jaw just dropped.
That one kind of hurt. It did. Oh, God. Because she's been such, you know, she's been such an ambassador. I mean, obviously it's her show, but I mean, like, she's been there with it, ushering it around, like, the whole time. So,
and you talk to members of the creative team, and they all talk about how this is her baby. This is her show. This is all hers.
And you just, I detail this out in my piece, but, like, there's no reason it should have lost. The entire narrative was there in terms of this highly emotional, actor-driven show with these phenomenal performances from a lot of people we know and a lot of newcomers. When it premiered, it broke ratings records for Netflix, 23 million in the first month. It was highly political. Everyone was talking about it all over the world. Oprah was out campaigning for it. I mean, it had Oprah behind it, and then it got all those nominations, and then nothing. But we should have seen this coming when Chernobyl took home 7 awards last weekend, because a limited series has never done that in recent years.
True, although I would have, you know, I kind of explained that away in my head, at least, that Chernobyl was always going to be a technical achievement, right? Because of the sound and the you know, the fact, the whole narrative around filming in the abandoned nuclear power plant, and, you know, the set design and all the crafts going into it. It was just so lovingly rendered.
Yeah. But even with that, like, one limited series has never swept those categories. And if When They See Us was as popular as we thought, it would have taken home cinematography or score or some, you know, it would have picked up one random thing, but it didn't.
And it wasn't nominated for editing.
Yeah, When They See Us wasn't there for editing, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like that story with how it should have, you know, with how the story is told, with that sprawling of a cast, maybe should have taken that more into consideration. Like, how it was assembled, like, you would think that instinctively that would be a no-brainer type of nomination.
Agreed, especially given that fourth episode that sort of... Well, you know, the third and the fourth episodes that tip into the personal lives, and then the fourth one becomes sort of a, you know, almost like a fantasy episode with his flashing back into different realities. Just, you know, the fact that editing wasn't considered for part four should have been.
The second one is about the court case, and the court case was two different court cases. The boys were split up, so they kind of effortlessly and, like, seamlessly weave between those two to tell this one story that wasn't reductive between two court cases.
Right. So we talked about lead actor, lead actress. I have to hand it to you, Joelle, because when we did the nominations, you said there was this, what was going to happen was they were going to give Patricia Arquette supporting actress because they weren't going to give it to her for lead actress because Michelle Williams was going to win lead actress. And you were absolutely right back then.
I was so shocked.
Because you know what it is?
So shocked.
Megan has touched on this. The Act is insanely popular, that story. Yeah. My best friend is obsessed with that story. She's watched the documentary a million times. It's a story, people who are into true crime, and there are a lot of people, they know that story well. They can't get enough of it. And it brought so many ratings in for Hulu. And I just think they were enamored by it. And she was like, if I don't know if you guys are familiar with that story at all, but she was perfect as Dee Dee Blanchard.
Oh, I saw, I had never watched, I watched Mommy Dead and Dearest after I watched The Act. And what Joey, you know, or, what Patricia Arquette does, both of them really, whatever they, what they do with their characterizations is really sort of insane.
Well, there had to be a reason that Ryan Murphy stole that story and just randomly inserted it into The Politician.
Okay, I was going to ask, because I've seen the first episode of The Politician now, and I was like, I think I know what's going on here.
I really like the first episode. I still like the first episode. The rest of the series is not as good, but I like the first episode quite a bit.
The first episode is all I've seen, but it's very much, that kind of style is very much for me.
Mm. Okay, so Michelle Williams gave a great Emmy speech.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were talking about that on Twitter. Ben Whishaw is probably the only, I think you could say he's the only one that sort of marched through this entire Emmy season winning when he could. Right, because he won the
Critics' Choice and Golden Globe?
Yes, he won Critics' Choice, he won Golden Globe. He was not nominated at, was he nominated at SAG? No,
I think Hugh Grant was, though.
Yeah.
And I think he might have won, let me check, but I think he might have won the BAFTA award, too.
I think he did.
Yeah. So he, and he is absolutely fantastic. He was my call the whole season. I mean, I know a lot of people were predicting someone from When They See Us, but he just kind of marched straight on through the year.
It was the smart choice, especially since any sort of competition was, kind of, how are you supposed to decide between those three men when they see us?
Right.
Yeah.
He did win for A Very English Scandal. So, yeah. He's won every, basically, award he could have for this.
I'm devastated that Patricia Clarkson didn't win for Sharp Objects.
The wrong Patricia.
I mean, she is so amazing. I guess people just really did not like that show.
I also think maybe people like, you know, like it's been so long since that show came out. I feel like I heard somebody say, maybe it was on Little Gold Men, where they were basically like, I feel like that show came out last year and we're still giving it awards.
Well, it was hard for it to win awards when it just came out also.
What?
I mean, it wasn't winning awards when it came out.
No, either. That's right. True.
I mean, to be honest, I kind of kept my mouth shut throughout the season, but I did not care for it.
Really?
So yeah. I thought
him or the show itself?
I'm talking about Sharp Objects.
Oh, Sharp Objects. Okay.
Is that what we were talking about? Were you talking about A Very English Scandal? So sorry.
No, I jumped back because I was looking at a picture of Ben Whishaw on my computer. So.
No, but Sharp Objects, I didn't care. I found it very kind of repetitive at times, and somehow I felt like I'd seen it before. Even though like the performances were good, I get it. Like, there's no reason Patricia Clarkson should have lost. You know, she was equally on par with Patricia Arquette.
Yeah,
but I don't. So I can't explain that, and it's not. And they really like her, so it's. I'm kind of surprised that they were like, oh, we don't like sharp objects, so we're just going to ignore her entirely. But yeah, I wasn't a fan of it at all. And I think that last episode really put me off for some reason. Mm-hmm. But
all right, let's jump to drama, because I do want to talk about the show itself. Drama series went to Game of Thrones. There was some heavy breathing as to whether or not it was actually going to win, because
I thought it was going to lose for a second. I really did.
Yeah, I kind of did too. But it only took home trophy of the night, the drama series, but it took home one more for Peter Dinklage, tying its record that it set now three times for the most Emmys won by a drama series in a single year, which is 12. You know, I ultimately, it was safe because I don't think there's another show people could rally around. And that's just, that's it.
Well, I do think that if some of these categories didn't end up the way they were, I think it would have won more. I think it would have won, if only The Longest Night was submitted or nominated, I think it would have won directing.
Yes.
And I think if it was one or two women and supporting actors, it would have swept away with that. Because when all those people came on stage, did you notice the energy in the room for Gwendolyn Christie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. It was huge. I actually thought that she was going to win after that. But
so it could have broken its own record.
Yeah, you know, it's okay though. They'll be fine.
We're going to talk about lead actress in a drama.
Yeah, we are. I was going to wrap one more point, but I've forgotten it. Lead actor in a drama series, Billy Porter, for Pose. I changed my prediction at the last minute to Jason Bateman because Pose didn't win anything at Creative Arts, or maybe it won one.
I don't think it won anything.
Yeah, so I just didn't think there was the support there for it. But
it was one of those things that I would have predicted Jason Bateman, and all season long I've been predicting Jason Bateman. But Jazz has had me cover, I'm going to guess, 3 or 4 Pose events.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time I go to them, I hear Billy Porter gives a speech. He's always interviewed by Ryan Murphy. It's this really special kind of like intimate conversation. He gives a speech and the entire room goes crazy. And it was just kind of like, I knew he was unstoppable at that point. Because then I would walk around the room and I would talk to voters and they would all, and when I would tell them what I do, they'd all like get really quiet and they'd go, he's going to win, right? He has to win. Like they were all very kind of, it was what they were committed to. And so I just kind of knew that it was his time.
I feel like he was the one, while I could have seen alternatives for how other people could have won, like Jason Bateman or even Shudder to say Kit Harington, I sort of never thought that, I mean, he's just so, there's something about how he is so matter of fact in how he speaks and how he presents himself, and he's so confident and so like luminous. Anytime that I see him in like in anything, I like scream a little bit because I'm just like, ah, it's Billy Porter. But it's I don't know, I sort of felt like his win was always sort of like a slam dunk because of how people have been reacting to him, especially after season 2 has done so well. Like since it also helped that, you know, he season 2, which he is phenomenal in, was airing during the voting period, so like that had to help, right?
Yeah, well, it didn't hurt for sure because they aired it exactly during the all of this, the whole summer.
That in Succession.
Yeah. Yes, which should be that. You know, Jalal, you mentioned this a couple of months ago, but Succession, I think, will be that season, that series that comes back with a sophomore season that is, you know, it sees like 100% uptick in its Emmy nominations. It'll get cast members in next time, I think.
Yeah.
Probably Sarah Snook, and I don't know who else is. I'm behind on the second season, but I'm sure Cherry Jones will get gassed.
All right, Joey, you wanted to go into lead actress in a drama series.
I thought Jodie Comer winning was like, I mean, there were a lot of shocks during the night, but I thought that was the biggest one. Like, I was so shocked when that happened. Like, and I sort of, like, somebody got into it with me on Twitter, like, as I said, because I genuinely believe, like, first of all, number one, like, what the hell does Sandra Oh have to do to win an Emmy? But You know, she made history last year, and someone got into it, me on Twitter, basically pointedly asking me, like, why are you saying that she isn't worthy, not worthy of a win, but like, why are you saying that she has to wait? And I was like, I'm not saying she has to wait. I commented that I thought that Jodie Comer's win was a great win, because of the two of them, I thought Jodie Comer, I liked her performance in season two more than Sandra Oh's, but I was fully expecting Sandra Oh to win because she's so overdue.
Yeah. I was expecting Sandra Oh to win as a makeup, because the Claire Foy won for her second season as a makeup, and somebody did win as a makeup. I just picked the wrong person.
And we see those makeup wins happen all the time. Like, they're slow to shows, and then they win for seasons they shouldn't have, like Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, God. Who wasn't even in that season? He was just barely enough in there to qualify, I think. But anyway, that was a great win. I mean, I think she won. I mean, I haven't seen the second season, but I think she, in my heart, she won for her fantastic, like, career-defining season one performance.
Yeah, I don't think voters watched season two yet. But it was very reminiscent of Tatiana Maslany winning.
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know which of those is more shocking, honestly.
I think that maybe... I think Jodie Comer, I was so happy that she got nominated, and I sort of didn't... I did not think she had a chance in hell of winning, because I predicted her to get a nomination, but I sort of thought it was like, okay, it's Sandra's time to finally win an award. And then, I don't know. I just thought that hers was like, maybe next year, maybe the year after that. But I was, you know, really surprised. Like, holy fuck.
And she honestly thought the same thing, because she did not invite her parents.
Yeah.
Supporting actor, Peter Dinklage. I mean, easiest call of the night. Supporting actress. So I was not one person that thought that one of the Game of Thrones actresses would win, that Gwendolyn Christie would rise above it. Although, as you pointed out, when they went nuts for her in the audience, I thought maybe she was going to win. I had gone with Julia Garner, but Chalal, you made such a convincing argument that Fiona Shaw would get the old lady drama supporting actress vote, that I was like, oh yeah, of course, that totally makes sense. The Maggie Smith vote.
I switched. Damn you. I switched out of Fiona Shaw at the last minute. I'm so happy that I did. But, and then as I was, that was one of the ones where after I sent the predictions, it was like the next day, and I was like, oh my God, Jalal's right. It's going to be fucking Fiona Shaw. Because I'd forgotten she had won a BAFTA. And I was just like, God damn it. I was like, well, my prediction sucked. And while they weren't that great for the rest of the evening, I was so happy that I went with Julia Garner.
Yeah, that love for Ozark, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't deny it.
Can't understand it and can't deny it.
It's like, because like, we've seen those kind of reports, I don't know how honest they are, that Ozark is the number one drama for Netflix besides like Stranger Things.
Right.
Yeah. And when I talk to Emmy voters, they all talk about Ozark. And like, in a way that like isn't true sometimes. Because like, I talked to a lot of them and they're like, yeah, like, we're the ones that discovered Ozark. We nominated it last year for best series and it almost won. And it's like, no. No.
Girl dead. No.
But
how cute that you think that. That's great.
But Jason Bateman took home a trophy for directing because of the Game of Thrones split, and not, I would say, because people were trying to slap Game of Thrones on the hand. It was because of very simple vote splitting, I think.
Yeah. Here.
I mean,
Do you think it was him, though? I wasn't surprised there was a vote split. I was more surprised that he was the one they went with when they had options like Adam McKay won the DGA, and then there's Handmaid's Tale in there. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just, that's the show out of the rest that they like the most.
Like, maybe they didn't think that Succession was ready to take writing and directing. Maybe.
And it's, I don't know.
Weird.
It's one of those mysteries. This is, see, the, predicting the Emmys is so frustrating because there's no precursor, right? I mean, you have the TCAs, but, you know, nobody ever pays attention to, and the Academy's not going to pay attention to that. It's just, you really have to look at what they're catching up to.
And like last year, The Crown, it's just been an interesting couple of years in this category, because last year, The Crown won. And they go from The Crown to Ozark in a very kind of, like, there's no pattern, and I love it, but it's an interesting bridge.
I forgot The Crown won last year.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a little more sense, because it's Stephen Daldry, but...
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the ceremony itself, the hostless ceremony. What did you guys think? Now, we haven't talked about the quality of the ceremony yet at all. So, thoughts? I will reserve my comments.
There was one good moment and only one good moment, and that was Gwyneth Paltrow walking across.
Teetering around.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone else says. Everyone's existence is worth it for that.
I sort of, and maybe this is the first time that they did this last year when they did the thing where they showed the clips and then they presented the presenter and they just like said one line and then opened the envelope. I remember being surprisingly into that last year, and then this year I was like, it felt really rushed.
Wait, they did the same kind of format last year?
They did. But it was maybe because they had a host, it breathed a little better. I just thought the whole time, it was like, hurry up, we gotta give away 97 awards. Hurry up, go, go, go.
But like, why didn't they walk out during the clip?
Right? Yeah. That's what I was always wondering. I was like, why aren't they just waiting there? I feel like there was one category where they were like, it might have been limited series where all of a sudden the voiceover is just like, all right, these are the nominees for best limited series. And I was like, oh, no one's going to come out? Okay, all right.
Or that poorly structured thing where Viola Davis awkwardly explains what a drama is.
Well, I was kind of mesmerized just by the presence of her, but
in those tennis shoes,
it was awkward. The whole damn thing was awkward. It was sloppy as hell. I thought the opening scene, the opening number where they're like, "Come on, somebody, run outside and do this." You know, they push somebody out there. I can't remember who it was, but I know that was supposed to be a comedy bit, but it kind of felt like maybe that was the real thing, and it was like a documentary. I don't know. It just one thing that I really hated was the snarky narration by that guy,
Thomas Lennon.
Yeah, who was vaguely insulting nearly every person that won. I mean, it was terrible. I thought it was just really awful.
I kind of like that Felicity Huffman read. Something about like there was something. It was early in the sermon. I can't remember what it was. Something about like former winners. Former winners in prison or something like that. I can't remember what the exact thing was. I also think like the music choices were really weird.
That they kept playing for Chernobyl, it just I was like, well, why can't
the
you
the Nina play Simone song?
Yeah. Yeah,
feeling good, like, or they referred to it as the little disaster that could. I was like, stop. I was like, what is happening?
It didn't make sense. I don't know. It just, I'm okay with the show that doesn't have a host, because I think the Oscars did a very good job without having a host. But this is just, to me, this is not a perfect example of how you do that.
Well, also, the Oscars also benefits from having a better structure, because they don't have to do genres and stuff, and right. They have musical numbers. This had nothing to kind of
padded
hours down. Yeah, they really need, they don't need a host, but I would have preferred like an MC, you know, like come out. They don't have to do a bit, they don't have to give a monologue, they just kind of oversee the evening,
right?
Like Anthony Anderson could have done that, but they kind of scrapped that weird thing.
I will say that had the winners not been surprising and surprisingly pleasant, it would have been a completely deadly night.
Oh yeah. Although there was like five really good speeches.
Yeah.
Michelle Williams. Alex Borstein.
That was great, too.
The other woman. Who was the other woman?
Patricia Arquette. She gave a good one.
Patricia Arquette, yeah. Gerald Jerome was really good.
And Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I like when she repeated her first speech. That was really funny. I find acting really hard.
Ben Whishaw's speech made me a little uncomfortable.
Oh, where he was talking about getting that he's hungover.
He was just like he's a very wispy man. Mm-hmm. And I just.
Oh, we see that.
I just got the sense that he was his character for a moment. And I was just like, well, this makes me uncomfortable. And when you guys see Judy, he reminds me of a very specific character in Judy. So it just made me feel sad inside.
If it's anyone other than Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland, I'm going to be very disappointed.
No, it's a very sad homosexual who goes to see Judy Garland perform every night.
Oh, I didn't know I was in Judy.
Are they going to... I don't want to talk about Judy until we see it, but are they going to push what's-his-face for a supporting actor campaign?
Who? Finn
Wittruck.
No, no one else will get anywhere close to an Oscar nomination, but if they push someone, it'll be Rufus Sewell.
Mm. Ooh.
Because he plays what's-his-face, the ex-husband. The father of the younger two. But he's the only one. Jessie Buckley is really good, but she has no material. She's the kind of assistant. Like, she's the assistant that has to corral her. It'll be Rufus Sewell, but it won't be anyone at all. But I'm just going to say this. Don't get your hopes up, because there were so many opportunities, and not once do they turn to the camera and refer to homosexuals as friends of Judy.
But I'm not seeing it.
Do not hold your breath. But yeah, these speeches, I thought they were overall really good. I like that Michelle Williams had that opportunity to make this really kind of rousing political speech and also take a jab at Fox for what they did to her.
Oh, I loved that.
I loved nothing more in my life makes me happier than Busy Phillips and Michelle Williams' friendship. It means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I love them. And watching Busy Phillips cry in the audience for her best friend, I think it was like the peak of my life.
I know how much you love her, because you loved her talk show.
Oh yeah, I watched it every night. Yeah. And I'll never forgive E! For canceling it.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of E!, they hired Jenny McCarthy for the red carpet.
Oh my god, I saw that and I want to die.
Well, there was Jenny McCarthy, and then there was Kelly Osbourne. I'm like, what is this, fucking 1995 again?
I didn't see Kelly Osbourne. Oh my god.
She had purple hair.
Yeah. There was a part during the E! Red carpet where Juliana Rancic was there with the Exonerated Five and Ava DuVernay, and she introduced everyone by their first and last name, and Ava DuVernay basically was like, wow, I had no idea that you would actually know who these men are. And I actually, she was talking about, she was like, there are not enough words to describe like how important this, I was like, stop talking. But yeah, like the look on it, if I could find it, I'll send it to you. But it's like Ava DuVernay's like, oh wow, like I think those words actually come out of her mouth. She's like, okay, you know what you're doing.
Like, was it a better facial expression than Gwyneth Paltrow being like utterly confused by Jenny McCarthy wishing her good luck for her husband?
No, I did not see that.
I didn't see that either.
Gwyneth Paltrow like literally was like, she's like, I'm not gonna respond, and she just walks away.
She did give a really terrible, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she gave a really terrible overview of the politician, and I'm like, okay, people are gonna run for that.
Jenny did or Gwyneth did?
Gwyneth. Oh. It was like, it's about modern politics, and she just kept going on and on and on. It was pretty terrible. But does that close the book? I know, Jalal, I know in your post today, you closed the book on the Emmys, but have we, on this podcast, closed the book again?
Clarence, I closed the chapter. The book goes on forever.
The 71st chapter, yes. Now we're starting the 72nd chapter. So I know I'm going to put you guys on the spot. I know we didn't usually we do an Emmy time capsule, and I think we're going to try to go back and find the original podcast from last year. But just very quickly, what do you think, you know, what do you think will, now that you've seen the winners tonight, now that you've seen sort of a, the evidence of a changing Academy, what do you think, you know, is the theme for the upcoming year? What do you think could
fair
win?
Fair disclosure, right before this podcast started, Clarence told us we weren't doing this.
Yes.
Well, no, I'm not doing the same. I know, I said I completely admit I'm putting you on the spot. We're not doing the whole thing. I'm just like, give me, you don't have to give me a name. Just give me themes. Just give me something. What do you think, you know, could be something you see based on the winners from tonight or last night?
As Julie Chen loves to say, expect the unexpected.
I would actually like to say that I would like to be as surprised by a lot of these nominations next year. I would like there to be, you know, more insane things happening, because we dig at the Emmys all the time for being very predictable and very safe. And I feel like, especially with the winners and the nominations, that they, you know, threw us some curveballs. So I sort of always kind of prefer, well, I don't like to be wrong, because I was actually going a little bit crazy. I was like, I'm so wrong in all my predictions. I'm sort of ashamed and embarrassed. But I sort of always kind of like it when it's not stilted and boring and stuff like that. So I kind of hope it doesn't go back to nominating, you know, I hope there are surprises. That's what I want. That's my hope.
Yeah, I hope that this is a sign of, because, you know, as you look at the winners, it's almost like they actually looked at the shows and they voted for the best person in the category. And I hope that this is a trend to continue, or maybe this is, we're being incredibly naive. And next year, it's like Westworld all the way.
I think there are just so many. What's interesting about this is there's so many facets that you never know which facet of the Academy is going to prevail. Because there's the older facet, there's the British, there's the younger. You know, it's not like there was one trend the entire union. There was like four different trends. But I think the one thing, and I was going to mention this earlier and I completely forgot. There, I think even more than the Oscars, there's a borderline Netflix bias at the Television Academy. And obviously, it won a couple awards, but it's never been able to win a top award. And sometimes I think, like, especially with when they see us lost all those awards, I wondered if voters are kind of tired of, when I see Netflix campaigns, sometimes I feel like Netflix puts themselves first and the show second. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that is one of the reasons voters have been apprehensive about caring about it. Even though they've done everything they could to try to get Emmy. So I wonder if in the future we'll see different Netflix use different strategies and campaign different shows and just try to build more general excitement behind something. I don't know what that something will be, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I was wondering if Netflix was pissed that they spent all that money on advertising during the commercial breaks of the Emmys and they didn't get anything.
It has to sting, right? I think they're going to, you know, they're certainly going to ride the crown for season three. I mean, even though it's a season three, it feels like a reboot almost, because it is a shift to, you know, higher pedigreed actors like Olivia Colman, like Helena Bonham Carter. The commercial that's going around right now is the first 5 minutes the first 2 minutes of the third season, which is a really great little moment. And I think she'll do well. They still have Stranger Things too. And my Emmy Confidential voter told me that had Stranger Things season three been nominated this year, it would have received his vote because he loved it that much. So
that's bizarre. And they also will have Madam C.J. Walker, a limited series about Madam C.J. Walker. Madam C.J. Walker, and it stars Octavia Spencer. And I think that we could see her go pretty far. and they'll have, we'll see how it does in the precursors, but Unbelievable just came out and is getting a lot of buzz, and I think there's a lot of really good stuff behind there. Although they've already started their Emmy campaigning and their television awards campaigning, and they're not doing a very good job because they hosted their big Mindhunter event during the Creative Arts ceremony.
Right. I remembered you saying that.
So we'll see.
Well, and I think HBO, we'll see what HBO does next year. They've got a rebuilding year because they don't have anything. I mean, they've got Westworld coming back, I assume, in the spring. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Watchmen. It's got Regina King. You can never count out Regina King. Mm-hmm. They'll have
Succession.
Yep, they'll have Succession. They'll have Big Little Lies.
His Dark Materials.
His Dark Materials. They'll have Mrs. Fletcher in the limited series. And Catherine Hahn is a very strong contender to win lead actress in a limited series. She's excellent in this.
And I don't know when it's coming out, but I think Lovecraft Country shows a lot of promise.
Right.
I mean, we haven't seen anything from it, but just the premise, and it's created by Jordan Peele, and it's, I think it could be really, really good, depending on when it comes out, how it's received.
And Netflix had, but Netflix does have The Politician.
Okay.
And, good for them.
He's going to, I mean, he's going to win a Golden Globe. Ben Platt's going to win a Golden Globe for that, I think, pretty handily. We'll see. When does Ratched come out? Is that going to be spring?
It's almost done filming. I just, I probably shouldn't have said that. Sorry, guys. I just interviewed someone who worked on lots of Ryan Murphy shows. And they worked on, I interviewed him for Politician in 1984. You can check that interview out on Friday. But he, I think, opened his mouth before he should have and just started talking about Ratched to me. And I was like, are you supposed to be doing this? And then he kind of like stopped and then like wouldn't give any more information. But it's basically, they're working on it right now.
Okay.
And he said it's phenomenal. The way that that world is created, basically, I think it's the 40s. He compared it to Feud. And like he couldn't just stop talking about it. I think that's something to watch out for.
The cast has Emmy bait all over it. I mean, Sarah Paulson, of course, but John Briones, Fenwich Rock, Judy Davis, Cynthia Nixon, Sharon Stone, Amanda Plummer. Just really.
And great. It's a drama, right? Because it's two seasons.
Yes.
I want to call dibs on Sharon Stone now. I love her so much.
She was at the Judy premiere, and Jazz was like, turn around, it's Sharon Stone. And I embarrassed everyone in the world. I gasped.
I would have turned to Sharon Stone right then and there. Like, just gone rigid and died. I adore her.
All right, let's do the flash forward to the media that we're most anticipating in the upcoming week so we can wrap up this bad boy and be done with it. So, Jalal, what are you looking forward to this week?
I'm looking forward to hearing what Joey's looking forward to.
Is it because you already know what I'm looking forward to?
I'm going first. Looking forward to Transparent, the musical finale.
That's what
I'm hoping looking. That... going back to the Emmys, I'm really, really, really hoping that Judith Light wins that lead actress bitch and wins her Emmy, her justified Emmy that she so deserves.
I've seen about 20 minutes of it. And she's... I just love her as that character so much.
she's the lead now, right?
Yeah, she's like the first. From what I remember, she just like walks on screen. She's the first thing that pops up on screen. So that debuts on Friday, the musicale finale of Transparent, a show that I actually really loved. Transparent.
I did too. Yeah,
I really sort of miss that show. I love all the talent involved. I feel like. What Jill Soloway did in terms of like, you know, continuing a conversation with that community, I really, really love. So I miss that show, and I'm glad that it is given an opportunity to have like a real finale, especially because of all the controversy around the situations about why it got canceled.
Right. Now it will compete, I assume, as a TV movie next year, right?
It's like over an hour and a half. So yeah.
Yeah,
because Amazon is smarter than Netflix, who is trying to turn that Jesse Pinkman movie into a real movie. So, no Emmy for him.
Yeah, you know, we couldn't, I don't know if I ever told you this, Jalal, we could not, was it you maybe that posted the article that was like, Netflix is stupid for not campaigning Gina,
Gina, yeah, either Gerald's Game.
Yeah, Gerald's Game, not campaigning her as lead actress. Mm-hmm. And we had to take it down because we basically said Netflix was stupid. Netflix is stupid for not campaigning her for. Well, we
Ryan just wanted a nicer title, yeah.
Yeah, but they were stupid for not doing that. I mean, she would have absolutely been nominated. She was fantastic in there.
Yeah, and like Otherhood could sneak in, you know, or something.
Yeah,
there's so many movies that could sneak in that have no business being in the Oscar conversation.
Exactly. All right. Joey, what do you have to look forward to in the upcoming week, other than Transparent?
I'm catching up on Succession. I'm almost done with the first season, and I love it. I basically feel like that asshole who jumped in on, because everyone's been talking about, like, Jazz loves it, Jalal loves it, Megan loves it, Sasha loves it, and I'm just like, I love Succession too. But it's so fucking good. It's so well acted. And I tweeted this out that I didn't realize like how funny it was gonna be. Like, it's really funny. It's a really funny show. And that's a testament to the writing and the acting of the show. I'm not saying obviously it's not a comedy, but I mean it's so good. And every episode I fall in love with a different member of that family. So I'm looking.
I just remember when we filled out our cooler award ballots. Mm-hmm. The very next day, I binged Succession, and I was like going to email Clarence, and we're like, "Can we do a reboot?"
I still have to get to it, but I will. I'm gonna have to watch two seasons so that before I do my best of 2019 television list.
And it'll probably be a major factor in the Guild Awards too. So,
yeah, agreed.
It actually, because Jason interviewed at a job in New York City, and I actually was just like, "Ooh, if we moved to New York City, I can like pretend I'm on Succession."
if you move to New York City, you can go to all those New York events.
I could. Yes, I could.
Yes, you could. I'm going to put TV watching on hold. I'm going to try to get through Mrs. Fletcher, the screeners that I have for that. But I'm going to put the rest of my TV watching on hold because I'm going on vacation. But while I'm on vacation, I'm going to see two movies. I'm going to see Judy and I'm going to see Parasite.
Oh, fuck you.
How are you seeing Parasite?
I have a screener.
You're so jealous. That's the one. That's the movie I'm looking forward to most this fall. I think you've tweeted that too, haven't you, Clarence?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is what I'm looking forward to this week. And speaking of next week, we are actually going to take a week off at the water cooler, and we will not have a new episode again until October the 7th. So we are skipping September's Our Favorite Movie series, and we will pick back up on October, most likely with fellow ADTV member David Phillips. But we will have more information on that in the next coming weeks. So just a reminder, again, we are not doing a podcast on September the 30th. We'll join us back on October the 7th. All right. So does that do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here.
Close that book.
Closing that chapter.
With a big old thud.
Boom. And just personally, thank you both for all of your hard work over the past couple of weeks and throughout the Emmy season. You guys have done a really tremendous job covering, interviewing, doing all the things that you do. So I really personally appreciate both of you very much.
Aww.
Oh, and thank you, Clarence, and thank you to the rest of our team because...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been an insane year. And it's been... I think this year has felt very different and very kind of all over the place, and it's been really fun to do it with all of you.
Yeah, I think we all, you know, work really well together. I think that I don't want to like toot our own horn, but I feel like we kick ass in a lot of ways that some other people don't. So I'm always, and I think it's actually very surprising sometimes when I tell people how many people are part of the Awards Daily TV team, and they are surprised that it's not like 20 people. I was like, nope, that's like six of us. And they're like, oh, wow. So,
yes, and we need more people who are strong writers and can interview and are willing to put aside a lot of personal time to join this crazy team. So if you're interested in joining Awards Daily TV as a writer in our upcoming season, please feel free to send us your samples over to Jazz Tenke or to myself, Clarence Moy, or tweet us at Awards Daily TV, and we'll be in touch. So we are the two M's, contributors Joey Moser and myself, Clarence Moy, plus Jalal Haddad, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcast, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow and happy Emmy season 2020.
Chapter.